Our first scripture passage for this morning comes from Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. The passage says, "The word of Isaiah, son of Amoz, the word he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem, in the days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many peoples shall come and say, 'Come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that God may teach us God's ways, and that we may walk in God's paths.' For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. God shall judge between nations and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord." And from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. "In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near.' This is the one whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, 'The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'" And from Romans chapter 13, Paul writes, saying, "Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep, for salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in debauchery or licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. My friends, the grass may wither and the flowers and leaves have faded and fallen, but the word of our God remains and abides forever. Thanks be to God. Amen." On the Saturday following Thanksgiving, I visited my grandmother, who my family and I call Beppa, along with my family, my parents, my two brothers, and their families. Among the crew were four boys and three girls, all under the age of 9. That day, Beppa hosted us in her small but comfortable home. The front windows of her house face south, and so her house is usually filled with bright sunlight, and that Saturday visit was no different. Beppa's house was full of bright sunshine. It was also full of little kids. My older brother John and his wife, they have three sons who are 8, 5, and 3 years old, respectively. My younger brother, Kevin, he brought presents for those three boys. Past couple of years have been busy for Kevin's family as he's moved and he's changed jobs. And so to make up for missed Christmases and birthdays, Kevin brought the boys a couple years' worth of presents. So we all sat and stood around Beppa's living room and watched the boys open packages with Matchbox cars and Transformer toys and board games. And then the boys opened the crown jewels of the present opening experience. Each of them held this long wrapped package in their hands. As the paper wrappings came off, they smiled at one another. Then they looked up at their dad with grins on their faces. Finally, they looked around at the rest of us as they revealed what they now held in their hands. Swords, foam and plastic swords. Katanas, my brother Kevin would correct. Foam swords made in the style of the weapons of samurai warriors. In the blink of an eye, the living room was a flurry of noise and motion as those three newly armed boys flew around the room, play fighting with each other and their defenseless cousins. The battle raged as their grandparents and great-grandpa yelled out in disapproval, and as my brothers and I chuckled and laughed at the madness. In our scripture passage for today, we hear about weapons, armor, the implements of war. This morning we have a famous passage from the book of Isaiah. It is a glorious vision. It is a vision that tugs at our longing hearts every year when we read it. It's a vision of the coming peace, a peace that includes the refashioning, the retooling, the repurposing of the implements and weapons of war. In the vision, Isaiah sees through a powerful and yet a mysterious attraction. He sees that through a powerful and yet mysterious attraction, through some kind of influence, some kind of mysterious drawing power, God is able to gather all the nations of the world together in one place. There on God's holy mountain, the nations of the world, which were usually and are usually busy fighting and warring with one another for the purposes of dominating and ruling over each other, those same sparring and murderous nations are taught new and better ways from God. Through the epiphany brought by God's light, through God's ability to teach and transform, to soften and refashion human hearts, the people of the nations of the world put away their conflicts and their warring ways. They see one another as God sees them. Siblings, cousins, members together in one great family. And there on God's holy mountain, they realize the sheer foolishness of their warring ways. Their swords and their spears are hammered into plows and pruning hooks. Plows for planting grain, grain for flour baked into nourishing bread, and pruning hooks for tending vines, vines for grapes, grapes which are pressed into wine, which gladdens and brings joy to the human heart. In the vision, fields once used for battle are now solely devoted for growth and cultivation. In a world where brutal and senseless war rages in Ukraine, in a world where millions are made refugees due to the violence of cartels and gangs and violent regimes, in a world where mass shootings and gun violence constantly bring tragedies to communities throughout our country, the promise of peace in Isaiah's vision, the promise of weapons being put away or refashioned into the tools of cultivation, these are promises that our broken hearts long to see fulfilled. After a few moments of chaos in Beppa's living room, the swords were taken away. A false peace was imposed. Play unfolded in a less violent fashion. Matchbox cars and board games distracted the horde of warring nations, at least for a time. But it wasn't long before the cousins were again taken by the temptations of those weapons. After a time of false peace, once again war broke out in the living room. At that point in the day, all of us adults were sitting around Peppa's dining room table, but we could hear the telltale sounds of foam swords smacking and slapping against Lazy Boy chairs, cousins, and the precious coffee table. Somewhat in jest, somewhat tongue-in-cheek, Beppa decided to deal with the violence herself. She went to her kitchen drawer and she grabbed her own sword, a wooden spoon, and she marched into the living room, and from the sidelines of the battle, Beppa laid down the law. "Hey," she called, "cut it out. No more fighting." Silence fell in the room as the children wondered how serious the threat really was. Silence fell as they wondered how serious the threat was, which they just received from this Dutch immigrant great-grandmother who was gesturing toward them with a spoon. None of them wanted to find out how serious that threat was. So again, for a time, they quieted down. In our world, we long for peace. And from time to time, we wonder what interventions, what actions, what tools or measures God gives us or calls us to use in our pursuits of peace. Like my Beppa marching into the living room with a weapon of her own, at times we wonder what weapons, what tools, what instruments does God call us to take up or to put on, to wield in our calling to be peacemakers in this world. What is right? What is fitting? What is faithful? There are those who believe that peace comes through violence, or at least the threat of violence. Yes, they would agree, violence in the end must be done away with, but to address evil, to address the wrongdoings of this world, to address violence itself, we must use violence, or at least its threat. Weapons are stockpiled. Scientists and engineers, the best minds of our world, are tasked with developing better and more sophisticated weapons. Shows of force are carefully planned and executed. According to some, this is the way to peace. Within the vision of the prophet Isaiah and within the ways of Jesus, I believe that another and more challenging path to peace is offered. It is a peace that requires donning not conventional weapons and armor of war, but a peace that comes from wearing what is called in Scripture the full armor of God. In the Isaiah passage, weapons are made obsolete in the recognition of our shared siblinghood of humanity. That message of our unity, that message of God's universal love for all, that message and its unfolding reality was carried and proclaimed and lived out by Christ Jesus. His early followers, the Apostle Paul and the early church, they heard God's call to seek peace, not through conventional weapons, but through the armor and weapons of knowledge, faith, good deeds, and through what Paul describes as the swords of God's Spirit and God's Word. In Romans chapter 13 and in several of his other letters, Paul tells his fellow soldiers of Christ to arm themselves. In his letter to the churches in Rome, Paul calls them to don the armor of light. And in his letter to the Ephesians, Paul calls this same spiritual armor the full armor of God. That armor includes the belt of truth, the breastplate of right action, the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, and the sword of the Spirit, and the word of God. There, Paul calls these soldiers of Christ to put on their feet shoes appropriate for their calling as Christ's soldiers. Choose, Paul says, whichever shoes will best enable you to march forth carrying and proclaiming what? The message of God's peace. My friends, within our scriptures, God gives us a call to arms. Now, military metaphors are certainly not my favorite metaphor within Scripture. But we should not be fooled or misled. The language of war is used in the Bible and within the New Testament. However, the call to arms is not a call to conventional arms. It is a call to the spiritual armor, the spiritual protection, the spiritual swords and shields which God gives us through faith. We are called to arm ourselves in the fight against darkness and evil in this world. We are called to arm ourselves for the purposes of bringing peace to this world. And we are called to do so by donning the armor of God's dawning and brilliant light. We are called to take up the Spirit and the Word in our hands. We are called to guard ourselves with truth and faith and right action. We are called to wear shoes that allow us to move among the nations, to share the light that we have received, and to spread the gospel of God's love and God's peace. This is the call to arms we find from the God of Christ Jesus, who entered this world not as a warrior, but as a fragile and vulnerable child, born to Mary in a stable, poor, lowly. At this point in our trip to Beppa's, it was getting late in the afternoon. The sun was beginning to set. The light was faded in the living room. Darkness was creeping in, and the nations were growing weary but restless. Beppa had tried to keep the peace with a message emphasized by her wooden spoon. I thought that I would give a different approach. So after a few minutes, I myself made my way into the living room. The curious eyes of my nephews and niece and my daughters tracked me as my socks made contact with their carpeted battlefield. They watched in curiosity as I moved aside the precious coffee table. What was Uncle Jeff up to? I took off my glasses and placed them on a high and safe place. Then I got down on my knees And as fast as a praying mantis grabs a bumblebee out of a flower, I grabbed the middle-sized nephew, picked him up over my head, threw him onto the nearby couch, and I shouted, "You'll never defeat me!" Instantly, the warring nations were united in a new and a shared project. No longer were they enemies at war with one another, for now they were united in the shared quest to defeat Uncle Jeff. The tension in the room was released as one of my daughters shouted, "Get him!" And those who had once been enemies joined the fight, united together with smiles and cheeks rosy with the laughter of roughhousing. My friends, God calls us to be peacemakers in this world. And the quest for peace in this world, God calls us to suit up for battle. We all crave the peace that we hear about in the book of Isaiah. We all wonder about the mysterious power, present but invisible in the vision, the divine power which can draw the nations and the peoples of this world together to learn about peace. We wonder about God's divine ability to teach and to inform, to transform and to change. We long for the day when the weapons and the ways of war are refashioned into ways and tools of life and cultivation. As we long for that full and complete experience of peace, God calls us to prepare the way of the Lord. God calls us to be peacemakers by putting on the full armor of God. God calls us to prepare the way of the Lord. God calls us to be peacemakers by putting on the armor of God's light. We are to be peacemakers, and that quest for peace begins with the territory of our own hearts. If you wish to see peace rule in this world as I do, then we are to make it a project to grow closer to God and to allow our hearts to be the starting point of the reign of God's peace. We are to allow God to help bring peace to the struggles of our own hearts, to come to God, to be drawn to God, and to find through faith that we and God are not at war, because God's love and God's grace have made it that we are united with God in love and in goodness. If you wish to see peace rule in this world, then begin by helping to allow peace to extend its reign here on the battlefield and on the front of the battle that is our hearts. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said about grace that grace is free, but it is not cheap. As he said about grace, so it is about peace. The peace that God offers, is free. The price has already been paid. But the peace that God gives us is not cheap. To find peace, to allow peace to truly take hold of our hearts and to saturate our lives, the gift of God's peace, it is freely given, but it takes work for us, costly work, to hold that free gift of peace and to experience its effects. Holding and knowing God's peace, wearing the armor of God's peace, it takes daily work. It takes the work of prayer, meditation, study, and devotion. Like a soldier daily dressing in his armor piece by piece, breastplate, belt, and helmet. Like a soldier daily taking up his shield and his sword and caring for them. So are we called to daily engage in prayer and devotion, that which allows us to remember that Christ has stripped us of our old selves and our old ways, and that Christ has given us something better to wear in its place. My friends, we are called to put on the armor of light. We are called to choose the shoes that best allow us to go and to share that light of God's peace far and wide. So let us put on the armor of light. Let us put on the full armor of God so that we can share the gospel of God's peace and in doing so, prepare the way of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.